Well, the virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
Which you need to prepare for and assume.
Strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China.
That this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. We're in Washington, D.C. We've got Fog City Midge. We've got Raheem Kassam, Jack Maxey, Steve Bannon up here in Midtown Manhattan on assignment. We've got a packed hour of a lot of prominent guests talking about the Chinese Communist Party, talking about this virus, talking about President Trump's situation. Christopher James, I think it is, one of the hashtag War Room Pandemic Posse, the most powerful audience in all media. He's telling us today, he says, hey, I'm out knocking on doors. We've got President Trump's back. He should take the day off. We'll see him tomorrow. So it's great. I know that you guys have been inspired to work phone banks and knock on doors. It's just an absolute inspiration. I know he finds it an inspiration. Also, we've got John Frederick's Radio Network on Real America's Voice. That's Dish Channel 219 in Chicago. It's Comcast Channel 113, and they're spreading their distribution out throughout the country, just not a streaming platform anymore. They're actually up on cable. Of course, we're at Newsmax. Chris Ruddy's team down there, 70 million homes. Really want to thank the Newsmax audience. All weekend long, you see the show and replay. I get my phone blows up every weekend as people catch up on the show. So particularly the plot to steal 2020. We're around the country talking, particularly in battleground states, Raheem Kassam, Stephen K. Bannon, giving you the TED Talk to get you up to speed on what you need to know to not allow the most important presidential election in history, and that's the 250 flag officers that signed that letter supporting the president. They said in the history of the Republic on November 3rd, not to let that be stolen by a group of chaotic anarchists that are the progressive left in this country. Okay, talking about enemies of freedom and enemies of people yearning to be free, believing in religious freedom. The Vatican has announced that they're going to sign the extension on the secret deal of the Chinese Communist Party on October 22nd, I think it is. We got Liz Yor. Liz, I want to bring in Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, one of the leading candidates to be the presidential nominee in 2024. A guy's got big political ambitions and has been at the forefront. I think he's the most hated guy by the Chinese Communist Party in government. I probably feel the most hated as a civilian. You know, they've had these specials on him that show him as an animal, that show him as somebody that's out of control. It's just really incredible what state media over there is doing. He's at the Vatican. He's in Rome. He's Secretary of State of a country that really provides, of the Catholics in this country, provide more support for the Catholic Church than anything, more resources, incredibly devout population. And tell us what happens. Does the Pope agree to even meet with Pompeo to hear what Pompeo has to say about why are you signing a secret deal, extending a secret deal with the Chinese Communist Party?
Refused to meet with him, claiming that this was going to be a too political a meeting. Now, Steve, you remember in 2016, the Pope wasn't shy about sending out a tweet about Hillary Clinton and saying that Donald Trump was unchristian because he didn't build a wall. You'll also remember in 2016 that the Vatican invited Bernie Sanders in the heat of the election site, a Democratic primary, and asked him to speak and met with the Pope. So that's a very disingenuous remark by the Pope. But Pompeo is like an avenging angel coming into the belly of the beast. You know, he didn't have to do this, Steve. He could have sent our ambassador in and quietly objected to the deal. But instead, he had a major conference in the Vatican calling out this hideous deal. And what did the Vatican say? The Vatican responded that This is the result of the anti-Francis network led by Steve Bannon and Archbishop Vigano, who is the Vatican's whistleblower. So, Steve, you're on their naughty list. You're in excellent company with another living saint, Archbishop Vigano. And also, you know, the Pope refused to meet with 88-year-old Cardinal Zen, who was there to plead with him not to appoint a CCP bishop for Hong Kong. Now, what Pompeo understands, and this is all about moral leadership, global moral leadership. This is what it looks like. You know, for our Chinese listeners, I hope this gives them great hope that the great American power will step in to the void and call out the Catholic Church that is colluding with this diabolical regime, which is frankly what Pompeo said, that the Catholic Church has never colluded. They have fought off totalitarian regimes. In fact, Pompeo brilliantly commented about John Paul II, who battled the communists tooth and nail and was responsible, along with Reagan and Thatcher, for bringing down the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain. And now we are in the paradoxical situation of the United States of America and President Trump, who are raising this global issue of human rights and religious freedom to none other than the Catholic Church, who has remained silent in the face of incredible persecution. And they're remaining silent in the face of what's happening in Hong Kong. I mean, the Vatican is now morally and financially bankrupt. And as a result, this insidious deal with the devil is going to be very troublesome for the people in China and in Hong Kong. But I'm believing, frankly, that President Trump's leadership, along with Pompeo, is going to allow, and you're seeing it even yesterday all over the world, this global movement building up against the CCP. And who are the leaders? Donald Trump. And as a result of this Vatican deal, which frankly they thought they could slip in without anybody commenting on it, the Vatican is now squirming. They know that the eyes of the world is on this heinous deal that is throwing the entire, not only Catholic Church in China and Hong Kong under the bus, but all believers in China are being further persecuted as a result of this collaboration with the CCP.
Okay, we're going to have a lot more on this over the weekend in our special. We're going to get Liz Ure, work with her this afternoon. Hope she's on there on the show, because she's absolutely correct. One of the foundational elements to take down the Soviet Union and to take down the dictatorial nature of the KGB and the Russian Empire was the Catholic Church in Eastern Europe for many, many decades to fight that. And when Margaret Thatcher and President Reagan came along, you saw the path to victory. It is absolutely stunning that one of the foundational elements of freedom, and particularly religious freedom throughout the world, has partnered with a regime that's actually worse than the Soviet Union. The Chinese Communist Party has enslaved the Chinese people. They have been absolutely, they are a atheistic, materialistic dictatorship, and they despise all religions, but they particularly, I think, despise the House Evangelical Christians and the Catholic Church, Pope Francis. And what's the most stunning of all is Miles Guo on this show, I think 2 or 3 months ago, said, hey, it's pretty simple, they need cash. There shouldn't be lost on people that another diocese, this one up in New York, near New York City, declared bankruptcy yesterday because of the pedophile situation that Liz Ure has been all over. Another diocese declares bankruptcy. They're taking, Miles Gross said it, they take $2 billion a year in cash in this deal, and there's been total crickets about that. So look, if I'm put on the fascist list with Vigano as the leader of the fascist group, all I know is I take pride of being the anti-Francis group. And I'm not saying about, you know, when he speaks as the Pope about theological issues, which clearly is outside my realm, but when you talk about politics, you talk about the freedom of the Chinese people. Yeah, I will talk about that. And in that regard, he's made a pact with the devil. So Liz Yore, we're crammed for time today. I'll talk to you later today. Hope to get you on tomorrow. You've been at the forefront of this. And look, we're going to make them more than squirm. We're going to expose what they're doing to the Chinese people. And we're going to expose how McCarrick and these other devils, okay, they're up to the neck in pedophilia, how they sold out the church, how they sold out the church in China, and most particularly how they've sold out the Chinese people. It is outrageous that devout Catholics in the United States of America, you know, put money into the collection plate every week to support this. It's got to stop. The only thing they understand is money. That's where they're taking from the Chinese Communist Party. Liz Yore, thank you very much. I'll talk to you later in the day. You've been just a warrior on this, and I know the Vatican fears you. So great work. Thank you for coming on today. Appreciate it.
The Vatican's watching the War Room. That's the good news.
Liz Yore, thank you. Big show tomorrow. We're going to have Liz Yore on it. We're going to be hammering the Vatican tomorrow in our special about this outrageous deal. Okay, now we've got a whole second hour packed here with a lot about China. Since the President of the United States is on the receiving end of the Chinese Communist Party virus, we're bringing in another warrior. Liz Yore is the warrior on the Vatican about the deal, the secret deal, the kind of CCP. A world hero is now joining us. She's got the cover story in The Week magazine. Amazing interview. It's Dr. Li Mingyan, the defector from Hong Kong that brought the world the story of really as a fact witness of how the CCP knew about this back in late December of 2019, early January of 2020. But more importantly, she's written these brilliant papers, these reports that put as a total lie the wet market or the bat cave or anything that was natural. She says that this came out of a experimental program. And Jack, I want you to jump in here because this is really your area. But Dr. Yan, I'm so appreciative for you to come on today. The reason we wanted you to have come on, I know that you're really a huge fan of the president's, and since you're here and you're in the asylum program, and hopefully we would love you to stay because you've got so many fans throughout the country and throughout the world that just love your bravery and love your family's bravery in standing up to the Chinese Communist Party. Jack, I'll toss it to you, but I think what people would like to know, since they look at you as one of the experts, what should the president be doing now that he's contracted the Chinese Communist Party virus? He has the CCP virus. What would you be telling the president he should be doing today?
Hi, sir. Thank you for having me today. So first, I want to say I hope the president and the first lady could get recovered as soon as possible, and I believe that. And the second thing is this virus is not a common virus as we know it before. So all the experience we know to control the virus, control the pandemic, actually is based on our experience and knowledge to the other nature origin virus, not this one come from the lab, and also in hints to target human already. So in this way, we cannot get avoid of such pandemics, the third wave, the fourth wave, and also more. And also it's difficult for us to find the efficient vaccine and also efficient drug to do the very good treatment for all the people. Still, we always face to the risk that we have to be exposed into again and again reinfection dangerous. So that's why I can tell people that if you want to understand the virus, you want to control it, you want to remove the risk, you have to first do the thorough investigation. And how to do that is to remove the Chinese Communist Party regime. If not, there is no way for you to do the thorough investigation to understand this virus and also to get a better treatment, better prevention for people.
Let me ask you, we've got about a minute here. You got 30 seconds in this block before we get jumped to commercial. I want you to stay over. Are you saying you don't believe that we could force our way and get scientists into these labs to report? You think the CCP's got to be taken down first? You don't think there's any way that the world community come together and actually get into the labs and get the reports and get the analysis done?
It's not because of my thinking or not, that we already see it from the beginning to now. Now it's almost 1 year. The global health faced to the hilarious attack, and also people all live in a panic and very insecure life because of the virus.
Guys,
the whole scientific world and also WHO and Chinese Communist Party have shown what they have done and what they can do. people will see more if we still give them chance.
We have a break here, guys.
Okay, Dr. Yan, just hang on. We want you to stay over for the next break. We want to talk about what the president's got to do. Short commercial break. We'll return with Dr. Yan. Also, the new federal state of China. All next with Fog City Midge on World Pandemic.
With Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back to the War Room. There's a lot to go through. We got an international audience. We got people from all over the globe. We're going to join this show here momentarily. Fog City, you got an update for us on what's breaking on the President of the United States contracting the Chinese Communist Party virus?
Yes, and we have an article from the New York Times being written by the reporters Peter Baker and Maggie Haberman wrote, if he becomes sick, it could raise questions about whether he should remain on the ballot at all, noting that Trump's positive test throws the nation's leadership into uncertainty, which it seems like this is the new narrative coming from leftist media, wanting Trump to be removed from the ballot, essentially. And I've been following a lot of what's happening on Twitter today. And Dr. Stella Emanuel, if you remember the doctor who went viral when she had her speech on the, you know, steps of the Supreme Court, she's been tweeting, whoever told the president to stop taking hydroxychloroquine should be punched in the face. This did not have to happen. I'm so upset. Our president, for crying out loud, no one needs to get sick or test positive. So she's been on a Twitter storm this morning. But I think it's something that needs to be noted. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But this is something that should be called into question.
Well, we got one of the best in the world who's going to join us. But I tell you what, here's the tell, ladies and gentlemen. Maggie Haberman and Peter Baker are the principal lead reporters. I think they won. They were a couple of the winners of the Pulitzer Prize in the first year of the administration. The New York Times, the paper record, that is exactly what the establishment thinks. And here's the tell. This is how confident that they are of Joe Biden beating Donald J. Trump. They now want to pull him off the ballot. President Trump's sitting there. He's asking about the economy. It's just another day at the office. You're going to see all weekend. I'm sure he's been in contact with his campaign, doing digital campaigning. The markets are settled out right now. It's another Friday at the office. Just had a pretty good jobs report. Not great, but pretty good. Unemployment down under 8% in what was going to be a Great Depression. But no, New York Times, Haberman and Baker, who are the Pulitzer Prize winning leads in the White House. Peter Baker's also got a couple of big books out on the Bush administration. What are they saying? Hey, he's got to get off the ballot. You know, he may have to even be removed from the ballot. They have zero confidence that Joe Biden can beat Donald J. Trump on November 3rd or even steal it afterwards. They're that nervous. They want to take him off the ballot. Okay, Jack, I want to go back to you. We got Dr. Li Ming Yan from the great defector, the hero from Hong Kong University that's done so much to expose this, and now she's getting cover. She started in the War Room, now she's gone global, right? We got to talk to her agent, make sure we get regular hits by her on the War Room. But she's got a cover story on The Week magazine. I know you're fascinated by, and our readers have been commenting on. Why don't you take her from there? And I also want to talk to her about Dr. Emanuel saying, hey, whoever took him off hydroxy should be punched in the face. Jack, back to you.
Well, Dr. Yan, I read this article in The Week, and, you know, I've spoken to you so many times, but one thing I thought was really interesting in this article was your talk of how you had to leave Hong Kong, because I think that's something that would be really interesting for our readers to listen about. You had the first interview with Ludok, and then you were talking to him, and there was a certain point where you realized that you had to get out. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because there's kind of a cloak and dagger aspect to it, and it really highlights the danger that and bravery that people like yourself put yourselves through. So if you could kind of describe how that went down as much as you can, our listeners would love to hear it.
Okay, so briefly that I was pushed to leave Hong Kong because of the situation. First is because Mr. Wu told me the intelligence that since I have done several months work with him, although anonymous, that to reveal the truth of COVID-19. So Chinese Communist Party already targeted me and they want to make me disappear. The second thing is, since the pandemic become worse and worse all over the world, And also Western people still don't have the right information to understand this virus. So I realized that I have to come out because I may be the only one, I'm also the first one, but inside as scientists and doctor to tell people the fact of COVID-19. So based on this, I decided to leave Hong Kong to US. And during that time, because it's hard to make decisions, so it takes some time, but when I see danger get more and more close, so I asked to get a ticket. And the Rule of Law Foundation helped me to get a ticket just so the day before I escape. And also the next day when I, before I go to the airport, I have to pretend to go to work. So I pretend to go to see the doctor in the campus and then turn back home. With the help, I quickly bring a little bit of luggage and also take the car to go to the lab because I keep my passport in the lab in case I cannot bring any luggage. And then I bring my passport, I have to talk to my colleague, talk to my supervisor, Leopold, like reporting my work and discuss about the update of my work. And then during lunchtime, they thought I go to do the animal work in the individual lab. And I took the car, I get rid of the surveillance camera in the campus and quickly went to the airport.
This is so great. I mean, literally, this is cloak and dagger. This is why I think there's a very strong parallel between the Communist Chinese and the USSR. I mean, you look at what it takes to get away from them when they want you, and you begin to understand that there really aren't that many differences. It's almost like there's just different icing on this cake. And but wow, I loved hearing that. The other thing I wanted that you touched on in that article that I think is so important, you worked with a World Health Organization scientist at your lab, and he was well aware of all of your findings concerning human-to-human transmission long before the World Health Organization ever admitted to that. Could you touch upon that for us?
Okay, so we have a bunch of the top coronavirus and emerging disease experts in the world, and that is well known. So this WHO consultant, like Professor Liu Peng, like Professor Manik Peris, they know the things I get investigated. They know human-to-human transmission. What I can tell you is, do you know that Professor Manik actually have been to Wuhan at least twice in January, but in secret. So he still tell the people in the representative of WHO even after mid-January that there is no human-to-human transmission, right? And these people, they have spent years studying the coronavirus. So they know a lot about this type of the virus. And also as an international bridge between China Communist Party and also the world, our WHO reference lab in Hong Kong actually is very hated for people to realize the real connection between China and them.
So let me ask you a question, because this is almost like groundbreaking news. You are saying that a scientist who works for the World Health Organization, Pierce, that he actually went secretly to Wuhan twice in January and never revealed that information to the world, especially when you consider that the World Health Organization is a public body?
Yeah, Professor Malik Peris at least went to Wuhan twice in secret. This is confirmed, but only known by the very, very small group of people, basically like the secretary and me and his closest assistant, so who is my husband at that time.
My God.
Jack, really, I got, just real quickly, while we got your doctor, the treatment that you think President Trump should be doing today, what is the give us your recommendations? Understand you're not a United physician.
Strongly recommend the cocktail treatment. You can refer to Dr. Delanco therapy. That is hydroxychloroquine plus azithromycin and also the zinc. And of course, you have to have other support treatment and individual treatment to the physical condition. But the cocktail, the treatment therapy, is very important. Also, for people close to him, I recommend the high-risk prevention protocol.
So,
Dr. Yan, we've got about a minute. Left. Dr. Fauci and others at the CDC would say you're a wingnut, like Dr. Zelensky and Dr. Rich at Yale, by prescribing that. What do you have to say to them?
Yeah, Chinese Communist Party's good friend, close friend, and also close friend to manic periods. Ask Dr. Fauci; he knows, and I know.
Dr. Yan, thank you so much. It's a great honor to have you on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
So, Jack, I want to go back to you in Fog City, Midge. I want to talk to the doctor that was on the steps of, about the doctors on the steps. Jack, why is it still controversial about hydroxy? You've got Dr. Yan, who knows it better than anybody, coming from Hong Kong. You know, she was a fact witness over there. She worked at the best lab in the world. Why are we still having this discussion when the President of the United States now has the CCP virus? Why is there some confusion between really the Trump government on the administrative state side and what experts know throughout the world?
Well, you know, here's another thing that Donald Trump can do to sort of solve some of this problem. Donald Trump has the right to be prescribed any FDA medicine that is approved in conjunction with consultation with his doctor, right? There's no bar against that, no matter what the governor of Michigan or anyone else says. So I think it would be great if Donald Trump just went out, took the Zelenko protocol, said he was doing it, was very open about it. I think it would give a lot of inspiration and strength to doctors out there who've been cautious about prescribing this medicine. One thing that's a huge tell in the last week, we had that study that came out on Monday where they tried to disprove the prophylactic use of this medicine. But remember, the reason we stopped using this medicine was because it caused heart arrhythmia and it was going to cause you to have a heart attack. That test that was done at, I believe at Emory, they did, no, it wasn't Emory, I apologize. But they gave people 600 milligrams per day for 8 weeks. This is a very high level. This is higher than the level that we give to a lupus patient. And there's no problem with the heart. What happened to the heart problem? Wasn't that the reason that we had to stop using this drug?
We're gonna take a quick break. We're going to get back with some more heroes from China, like Dr. Li Mingyan. We'll be back in a moment on War Room Pandemic.
With Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
We thought it was important to bring heroes from around the world of China. Now today, the president's contracted the Chinese Communist Party virus, which is not going away anytime soon. I want to bring in Midge. You've got an update on what's happening in Washington, D.C. among all the people who are just great patriots.
We've got new a hate update, if you will, from the an opinion writer at The Washington Post. She tweeted earlier, win-win, Trump won't debate.
Hold it. Who is it?
It's Jennifer Rubin. She describes herself on Twitter.
She's a hater.
Yeah, she describes herself on Twitter as never Trumper, pro-democracy opinion writer. So yeah, when you lead with never Trumper, I think you don't come across very biased.
She was the conservative writer.
She had conservative opinion writer in her on her bio until last month.
Yeah.
And then she changed it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. That's how she was hired.
It seems like a delightful woman. So she's now pushing this idea that Trump has essentially faked the coronavirus diagnosis and it's all just to get out of debating Joe Biden. And this new narrative is trending on Twitter. So it's really funny to see that this is the new angle, which is funny because I thought from watching that Trump destroyed Biden, but that's just my opinion.
Well, this is the whole thing. They've got to create the fear, right?
Yeah.
They've got to maintain it.
So tell us about the president's former admiral who was his medical advisor at the White House, Ronny Jackson, running for Congress. What does he say, Jack?
Ronny Jackson said, he goes, look, you have to remember this president is 74 years old. Jackson says he has no comorbidity, so obviously the little extra belly fat is not a concern for Dr. Jackson. And he says that, you know, statistically, he's going to do very, very well. He thinks that the guy's in perfect health for his age. He thinks that he's going to be able to do the next debate. He says that he will be well long before the time for the next debate. So I can't imagine anybody who knows the president's physical fitness better than his personal doctor over the first 3 years of the administration
Raheem, tell us about the controversy. Tell us the controversy over at with Dr. Atlas. Tell us what's happening between him and Chris Wallace, the moderator.
Midge, I want Midge to do this because she's got it up on the screen. Chris Wallace ripping into Dr. Scott Atlas this morning, right?
Yes, Dr. Scott Atlas, the new doctor who's basically, you know, running a lot of these press conferences on coronavirus from the White House. So Chris Wallace ripped him one, saying that he has no training in this area at all, and yeah, just calling.
No, he said his scientific bona fides.
What did he actually say to get into this mess?
Let's read the quote.
So the exact quote is, "I'm trying to give you the truth. Dr. Scott Atlas, not an epidemiologist, is not an infectious disease specialist. He has no training in this area at all. There are a number of top people on the president's coronavirus task force who have had grave concerns about Scott Atlas and his scientific bona fides.
Yeah, isn't Scott Atlas at commenting on this, like Steve Bannon commenting on this? Don't you need he's a radiologist, not really a doctor, right?
No. Scott Atlas has a degree in biology. He has an MD from the Pritzker School of Medicine at the University of Chicago. He's a 30-year professor and chief of neurology at Stanford University Medical Center. He's the author of a 2,000-page book from 83 contributors about the brain and the spine and magnetic resonance. He's got the Comeback Award in 2008, the 2011 Alumni Achievement Award from the University of Illinois. He's had several honorary memberships of medical societies in the U.S., in Mexico, in Brazil, visiting professor in neurology at the University Hospital of Zurich. Look, you can say, hey, this guy's not an epidemiologist. You can't say he doesn't have scientific bona fides.
Okay, good. That was a good response. Okay, I want to go now. The President of the United States, we brought Dr. Li Mingyan in, the great defector from the Hong Kong that brought the truth to the West. Right? Although the West may not want to be able to embrace this. It's the Chinese Communist Party virus and it's spread throughout the world. Some of the heroes that are every day in the face of the Chinese Communist Party are the expatriate Chinese have joined either the whistleblower movement or the new federal state of China. And on National Day, which is a celebration on October 1st of the Chinese Communist Party taking over the nation of China and subjecting the Chinese people to slavery, They've made a history of celebrating that. But yesterday, for the first time in history, a counter group, the New Federal State, throughout the world had a global protest that was absolutely amazing with their flags, their petitions. They're saying that the CCP lied and people in New Zealand died, or the CCP lied and Americans died. So we're going to New Zealand right now with Tex. That's his nom de jour. Since we gave you his real name or showed you his face, his family would be rounded up in mainland China. Tex, how does the people in New Zealand are supposed to be the most laid back people in the world, but we saw the footage of the of your rally, your protest movement, and you guys were on fire. What is going on in New Zealand with the new federal state of China, and how serious are these protests?
Hi, Mr. Bannon. Yes, we were actually really excited because the mentality behind it is this will be the last national day of the CCP's. So we would just went out and go out, you know, at the consulate and celebrate out loud and tell them that, you know, by the time this time next year, you guys non-existent. So we are celebrating, having a great celebration there. It's quite a different vibe than the first time we went out and protest out there, because back then we were still a little bit cautious about, you know, still a little bit, had a funny feeling about it because we've been under intimidation of the CCP for so long. But this time, like, people are fearless and we can see their excitement, their joy, and we also receive a lot of support from local communities, including a political party actually jumped out and gave a couple of speeches, which was unexpectedly, because they're the co-leader of the party, you know, like, we are 2 weeks into general election in New Zealand, so they are so busy campaigning, but he spent some time and came over and gave us a speech and dropped a bomb. Basically, he just say, hey guys, we're really looking forward to establish a formal relationship with the New Federal State of China. Once we get into the parliament, we will want to work with the free Chinese people. We want to drive communism out of New Zealand, because I mean, it's at the alarming level now in New Zealand. Like, since we are such a small economy, sometimes it's quite easy to buy into the parliament to infiltrate into different part of society. So they all realize that, and one of the co-leader in that party actually was I believe was the first MP, sitting MP in the parliament, to become a whistleblower, saying, "Hey, we got to stop. Otherwise, New Zealand's gonna, we have no future. We'll become another Pacific island that that the CCP has full control over." This was a scenario. So he jumped up, and then we have this new party. We got connect up, and we introduced new federal state of China to them, and they were amazed, and they were excited about this. And then they just jump out and put the bet on us, saying, "Hey, we want to work with you guys, but not the CCP anymore."
Tex, real quickly, your protest this time was much bigger than last time. Why are people getting excited? Why are Chinese expatriates that live in New Zealand, why are you getting excited and really emboldened to support the new federal state, given the CCP has still got you under surveillance, they're threatening you, they threaten your families back in the mainland? What's the excitement coming from?
I think a lot of it coming from the global dynamic, a lot of it coming from all the works that Miles and Mr. Bannon, you have done, and also the U.S. government has done, the move that they've taken against the CCP and against the evil D. So that gives us a lot of confidence. And also we see a lot of support from within mainland China. We even see people like risking their life, like raising the new federal state flag on the Great Wall. That was like, or even carry their flag into the airport, and that sort of thing, like, just shows us people want to see this tyranny regime collapse. So that gives us a lot of confidence that the Communist Party will collapse at any time. They're at the verge of collapsing. So we are very close to the victory. That gives us a lot of confidence, and we are going even harder on them.
Tex, thank you very much. I know it's the middle of the night in New Zealand. We'll have you back on the next couple of weeks to give us more updates. Just an amazing, amazing situation throughout the world. Yours was one of the most incredible protests because you had a member of the government, a guy running for office, a senior co-head of the party, saying, "Hey, we want to recognize you as the legitimate state of China, not the Chinese Communist Party." So Tex from New Zealand, thank you very much. I want to go to Alice in New York. They had an amazing parade yesterday throughout New York, all the way through Midtown Manhattan and down to kind of lower Manhattan and then back up. Alice is one of the leaders of that. Alice, we just had text on from New Zealand that said, "Hey, this is the last national day of the Chinese Communist Party." That's kind of a big, bold statement. Is that the belief of the new federal state people in New York City, that you believe we've seen the last national day of the Chinese Communist Party, and that this coming 4 June, there'll be the foundation of the new federal state of China? Is that what you guys believe?
Hi, Mr. Bennett. Yes, exactly. Actually, a lot of whistleblowers, they plan to come from outside other states. We told them you have to do the quarantine, so try to support us online. But many of them don't want to miss it. They said this will be the last anniversary of CCP regime. We would have no chance to protest later. So they... Many of them still manage to come when their states allowed. So we set a record yesterday. It's the largest number of Chinese protesters in Manhattan's history. We had about 400 protesters from the, and then we also had 21 cars and 7 advertising trucks playing the videos and images on the sides and the back of the trucks. We also have a big off-site supporting team from all over the world. They made the advertising videos and planned the live stream and rehearsed. It's an excitement among new federal state of China. Our protest is to tell the truth of the coronavirus. America needs to know the truth. The world needs to know the truth. We're different from CCP. CCP cannot represent the 1.4 billion Chinese. We love peace. We love America. We are fighting for the freedom, democracy, and the rule of law for ourselves and for our future generations. And taking down the CCP will also bring peace to the world. It's always to hear our president and the first lady tested a positive. If we don't take down CCP, it's going to get worse. More viruses and more disasters are on the way. Look at what CCP did to Hong Kong. They infiltrated the Hong Kong government. They killed local Hong Kong people and occupied the Hong Kong land. So Hong Kong today is America's tomorrow in CCP's plan. CCP's evilness is beyond any human being's imagination.
Alice, I want to thank you for coming on. I got to tell you, you're an inspiration. I was here in Manhattan yesterday, and it was absolutely incredible. People were blown away to see the number of Chinese people with this great blue flag of the new federal state, the buses, the videos, and they're saying, who are these guys? And people are telling them, hey, this is a new alternative for the Chinese Communist Party. Chinese Communist Party brought a virus here. Our president now has it. But you've got free Chinese like yourself, Alice, in Texas, New Zealand. It's absolutely incredible. I want to thank you for coming on. Look forward to having you back on the show. I know you've been on before. Alice, you're a real hero. And I got to tell you, you're an inspiration to the American people as you fight for freedom. Okay, we're going to turn. We got Fog City Midge, Captain Bannon, Raheem Kassam, Jack Maxey. All next, the concluding segment of today's show. Hashtag War and Pandemic. Want to hear what you have to say? We'll be back with the show in just a second.
Sounds like Mother Nature.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
So, Raheem, I know that the left is in meltdown, but is the world in meltdown? Where are the capital markets right now? Where are our allies? Is it just another day at the office?
Well, it does seem like another day at the office. I mean, the Dow is down 158 right now. Nothing too unexpected about that, especially when you have the unemployment numbers. You have the skepticism over a new House stimulus bill and so on and so forth. There's not really a lot of panic going on out there, and I think it was the right thing to do for the Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, to get up there at the sticks this morning and just deliver an update, deliver the calm. He said the president's going to continue to be working, got mild symptoms. But it's just, yeah, as you say, it's just another day at the office. Nothing to fear.
We've had heroes around the world from China tell us it's a CCP virus. We've got to get serious about seeing that. I see someone on Twitter said, talk about hate. That RBG must have argued her first case in front of God. I know, Jack Maxey, you've gotten something from the Mooch. What is the Mooch saying?
Scaramucci was on CNN this morning, and these are the words of a small man for sure. I mean that both literally and figuratively. He said, "This feels like Mother Nature is sending a message." I wonder who was sending a message when he felt Donald Trump's boot in his backside on the way out the door of the White House after about 5 days on the job.
That was Father Nature.
Okay, I want to go to Fog City Midge. We got Captain Bannon on here. You know, the left's already saying they got to postpone Judge Barrett's confirmation forever because they don't want that ninth judge, the one that they forced on here because we need it for all the 2,000 lawsuits that are coming on the lawfare to try to steal the election. Fog City, you've been trying to look up some positive stuff on Twitter and on the internet about Judge Barrett. How successful have you been?
You know, it's funny, almost every single top article that comes up when you look up this woman is some kind of negative slant or CNN, leading article. And, you know, it's funny because as far as I can tell, this woman should be, you know, a feminist icon. I mean, she's amazing. She's got 7 children, 2 of them adopted, 1 child with special needs. And she seems to just be at the pinnacle of her career and have a happy, loving marriage and great family life. I think this is something that most women aspire to. And it's crazy to just watch the left in complete meltdown and want to attack this woman. But, you know, I think that's probably why Trump chose her, because, you know, she doesn't leave a lot of opportunity to go in and to try to dig up dirt. And it'll be interesting to see how they try to, smear her in the weeks that come.
You know, they don't want her to be confirmed. They don't want her in the bench. They want to delay this confirmation process as long as possible. We're bringing Captain Bannon. So Fog City Midge is telling us that she's a feminist icon. You're a West Point grad. You tell us what you think. Is Judge Barrett a feminist icon?
I think she is. I think, well, first off, I want to say good morning, gentlemen, and good morning, Midge. Thank you for having me. But I think that she is a new feminist icon. She's raising that idea that feminism isn't just about women's equality in the workplace. It's about raising your family. You can have both a family and a successful career, and she is a prime example of that. I mean, she has 7 children. She has a successful career. Like, it's not, she's holding that standard, or raising that standard, I should say, that you can have both. The left is definitely scared that she will take away women's reproductive rights. She's not, in my opinion, doing that. She is raising that standard for men to meet that responsibility as a caregiver.
So, Midge, why is the left so, why are they in meltdown on this one in particular? Why have they focused on Judge Barrett as like the end of times? Why do you think that, because you're right, it's tough. If you go online, all you see is hate, and it's not rational argument, it's hate. Why do you think that, why do you think they've do nothing but spew hate?
Well, I think she symbolizes everything that the left hates, right? A woman with a happy, you know, she's happily married, great family, and successful in her career. You know, the left always tells women, you have to choose one or the other, you can't have both. And to me, I look at a woman like Amy Coney Barrett, and I think, wow, I want to be more like her. But yeah, of course, the left does not want to see Trump get a third Supreme Court nomination. This is like their worst nightmare. Because, yeah, they don't want people who actually look at the law and uphold the law as it's written. They want liberal activists on the court. And that's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg became, right? She basically, they knew how she was going to vote. She was going to side with the progressive left, and she wasn't there to uphold the law as written. So yeah, the left don't want someone who interprets the law. And I think that's basically the basis of their hate.
We've hit up against a time block here. So Midge, how do people get to, you're an influencer, how do they get to your Twitter handle, your Instagram, how they find out more about Fog City Midge?
Type in Fog City Midge. I am everywhere under that handle on all social media, Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. I'm probably the most active. I'm also on Facebook and Parler. So yeah, Fog City Midge, get in touch, send me a message, follow, and yeah, just stay tuned.
So Captain Bannon, do you have a Twitter handle people can get to? How do people can find out more about you?
I do. It is Maureen_Bannon, and I also am on Instagram. It is mbannon2.
Okay, thank you very much. Hey, Raheem, what's going to happen on the National Pulse today? We've got about a minute to go. What's the National Pulse, and where's the news cycle going with President Trump now having contracted the Chinese Communist Party virus?
Well, signal and noise, Steve. I mean, there's going to be a lot of noise about this now. People, giving their opinions and their commentary and the Chris Wallace-isms all day long today. We're going to steer clear of that. We've got some signal for you. Biden transition team member, we've just popped the story in the National Pulse, has worked with CCP officials for over a decade. This is a story of Susie George, who's been working at the Albright Stonebridge Group. We'll be bringing you more information about that. Very detailed reporting from Natalie Winters. I have something very special for Media Matters on the show today. I know their staff are keenly tweeting at me all day long now. I noticed Justin Horowitz, our little intern, has not done a story since the day we exposed him on the National Pulse. Come back, Justin. We need you. I like the punching bag. Come back to the show. And then finally, we will have Kane from Citizen Free Press on, as we do every Friday, dissecting the news stories, how he's following the news, what he's seeing in terms of the trends out there at the moment. That's all at 3 p.m. here on Real America's Voice. Steve.
Make sure you go to Canon212. Make sure you go to Citizen Free Press. Make sure you go to Revolver, National Pulse, all of it. Okay, tomorrow we're going to have a special on how the Vatican has sold out Christianity overall in a deal with the bloodthirsty atheist out of Beijing, the Chinese Communist Party. I want to thank Fox City Midge, Captain Bannon, Dr. Li Mingyang, the entire crowd of the new Federal State of China, and Liz Yor. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. I want to thank everybody for watching War Room Pandemic.